So obviously my first question is, what is lightning?
What is lightning? Well, you know, Eleanor, over the last couple of days we've had a bit of a stormy weather in Sydney. It's really beautiful today, but I thought we'd have a little bit of a look at something which everybody knows, which perhaps not everybody really understands. Okay, so lightning is something which we know what happens, but we still, the sort of cutting edge of science doesn't know why that happens. And so if we think about where lightning comes from, it all comes from clouds.
Right.
And so what happens when we have a cloud in a storm, we have it's sort of all these particles are kind of bustling around. And what happens is that we have the light ones move to the top of the cloud.
Yes.
And they become positively charged. And the heavy ones move down to the bottom of the cloud and they become negatively charged.
Okay.
And so we have this electrostatic field that's set up within the cloud. It's something which we don't really understand the origin of what it is, but we know that that is kind of what happens. So within this cloud, we have this positive region at the top and a negative region at the bottom. And so when the electrostatic potential gets really high, we kind of it all kind of breaks down.
Right.
And there's a pathway that goes in between. So one thing that people may actually not know is that lightning occurs mainly in clouds, but then what we would think of as lightning is an interaction between the cloud and the ground.
Yeah.
And so it's a similar kind of thing where if we think about the cloud, at the bottom of the cloud, we have this a buildup of negative charge. And so what that does is it kind of interacts with the positive charge, which is on the ground. And so again, when
so instead of going to the positive charge that's in the cloud, it's going to the positive charge that's on the ground.
Yeah. So if we think about the cloud as positive at the top, and negative at the bottom. And then for this case, we forget about the positive at the top. And it's an interaction between the negative at the bottom of the cloud and then the positive charges that naturally occur in Earth, so on the ground. And so then we kind of have an electrostatic potential that's built up between the bottom of the cloud that's negative and the ground where we have positive charge. And when that becomes really high, then it kind of breaks and we have this current path that forms between the two. And it is something which, I guess intuitively, when you look at lightning, it looks like it's something that's coming from the clouds and hitting the ground.
Right.
It's more complex than that, but actually what is happening is we form a path between the negative in the cloud and the positive on the ground, and we actually have a flow of charge from the ground up to the cloud. And
okay.
We have such high energies that it emits light and we can see it.
Question, why is the ground positively charged?
I guess it's positively charged relative to the cloud.
Right.
So we have an electrostatic potential difference.
Oh, because it's so negative, because all the positives have been taken out. That's why.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're kind of thinking about relative to that very, very negative bottom of the cloud.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when we have a large field that builds up, it's sort of something gives and we have a current path that flows.
Okay. But does the positive charge on the ground have to be closer to the negative charge than the positive charge on top of the cloud?
There are not necessarily closer. I guess it's related to the actual difference.
Okay.
But it's better if we have it sort of higher in the ground. That's why we have, when we protect buildings from lightning, we have this high lightning rod.
Yeah.
Because that positive charge is physically closer to the negative part
of
the cloud than all of the other, because we don't want it to hit everywhere else on the ground where there's positive charge.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of a bit of a run through about our current understanding of lightning. But at this point, we don't really know exactly why we have that big build-up of negative at the bottom of the cloud. That's something that scientists are still working on.
So, wait, when you have lightning, does that mean that the cloud bank has got to be like wider than the space between the bottom of the cloud and the Earth?
The physical distance, not necessarily. It's more related to the potential difference that's caused by this electric field.
Oh, okay.
And so we can still have it occurring in the cloud and then on the ground as well.
Okay, cool. Just everywhere.
So that's kind of lightning and cloud science right now. But I wanted to talk about something that's just been published out of Japan from Kyoto University because I think it's pretty cool. It's published a couple of weeks ago, and they were basically looking at the link between these lightning interactions, which we've just talked about, and the production of radioactive atoms.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. They have actually a particular part on the northern coast in Japan. They have a lot of lightning activity, and that's a really large place where they do a lot of studies. And so basically what these people from the Kyoto University did is they had on the ground these kind of really sensitive detectors. For looking at radioactive materials or atoms. And then there was a lightning strike at the start of the year that was, it happened pretty close within a kilometre or two of this measuring equipment they have.
Yeah.
And then everything went wild. all the dials and all the measurements that they had, like these kind of really unusual things that they observed. And they kind of spent this year trying to figure out what had happened. And so basically they came to the conclusion that they have basically produced this hypothesis or this understanding, which we didn't have before. This was published a couple of weeks ago, about how lightning can actually produce radioactive atoms.
Okay.
And so what their argument is that when we have lightning, we see the light, right?
Mm.
But there's also other parts of the electromagnetic spectrum that are there as well. So we know on the electromagnetic spectrum, we have light. And if we go one way, we have like microwaves.
Yeah.
So you can have your microwave dinner. If we go further on the spectrum, we have very important radiation, which is radio waves.
Absolutely.
That's something that we're a big fan of here.
Absolutely.
At 2SER. So that's going to a lower energy part of the spectrum. But if we go to a higher energy part of the spectrum, then we have like UV. That's why we get burnt when we go outside. If we go to even higher energy, we get to X-rays, which we were just talking about off air. And then the very highest form of electromagnetic energy.
Gamma.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
On it.
Man, you nailed it.
I nailed it.
And so we've known for a little bit that this lightning actually produces not just light, but also this high energy photons of gamma radiation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so they, when they had their radioactive detectors on the ground and the lightning struck, they, all the detectors went kind of crazy. And so they spent all this year trying to figure out, okay, well, what was that? Why did we have these radioactive atoms occurring at the base of where the lightning struck? And so to figure out exactly why that happened, we have to take a little bit of a think about what is an atom. So in our mind, we're going to build up what an atom is. I want you to think about if you have pool balls, like billiard balls, and if you have a white one, a red one, and a blue one.
Right.
And so the blue ones are going to be the negatively charged electrons.
Gotcha.
The red ones are the positively charged protons.
Gotcha.
And the white ones are the neutrons, so they're kind of neutral.
Okay.
So when we build an atom, Eleanor, what I want you to imagine is that we have...
Wait, this is hydrogen then?
It could be hydrogen.
Okay.
But any atom, when we build it, we have in the middle clumped together the red ones and the white ones.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the nucleus.
Yep.
And we have the exact right amount of red ones and white ones in the nucleus.
Yep.
Outside, the blue ones are orbiting. Those are the electrons. They orbit kind of like planets around the sun, but we're not thinking about those at the moment. We're thinking about the nucleus. So you think you have these white ones, which are the neutral ones, and the red pool balls, which are the positive ones, and they're kind of arranged in the nucleus in a way that they have just the perfect arrangement so that they're stable.
Right.
But then what we're going to do is rip one of the white ones away.
Okay.
So if we rip out a neutron, then it all becomes very unstable and it kind of breaks down.
Oh, all right.
And that's when we think of splitting the atom. That is exactly what we're doing.
Oh, you just take the neutrons out.
We're disrupting that balance of protons and neutrons in the middle. And so for something like nuclear energy, what happens is we get a big atom, rip one of the white pool balls out, and it goes all fuzzy and really unstable, and then it breaks apart.
Okay.
And then it spits some stuff out. So when we have a nuclear reactor, something that gets spit out of that reaction is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this case, when we had this occurring in the lightning, so now we have a nitrogen atom.
Yep.
And what they figured out happened was that the nitrogen atom was interacting with these really high energy gamma rays, and the gamma rays was ripping out one of the white pool balls or a neutron.
Yep.
And then it breaks apart.
Oh.
And then when it breaks apart, there's all of these byproducts that are kind of spit out.
Yeah.
And that's what these detectors were detecting.
Oh, okay,
on
cool.
the ground. It's like all this, they went haywire because they were detecting all of these particles. And it was the particles that were being spit out of this reaction because of the gamma rays in the lightning.
Oh, wow.
And this is hot off the press. This was published a couple of weeks ago by some researchers at Kyoto University. So it's furthering, I guess, our understanding of what is storms and what is lightning.